Good morning and God bless you. We've been having lots of fun over the last few weeks. Some of you may be involved in it, may not have been involved, discussing the intricacies of the new man versus the old man, how to manifest true Christianity instead of this pseudo stuff that's pretty much placated by nice looks and nice words, but there's no power. And there's really no basis of God's Word in it. And we want to learn more about that today. We want to learn what it's like to be a true Christian. We want to know how to treat each other as true Christians are supposed to treat each other. Face to face. Soul to soul. Life to life. Most of Christianity today is pretty much ruined in a mire of wrong teaching. And the wrong teaching comes because they go to the wrong parts of the Bible. They teach Old Testament, old knowledge stuff that really doesn't pertain so much to Christianity today. If you're going to live as a Christian, you must get your doctrine out of the Christian part of the Bible. And that would be the seven church epistles primarily. And Acts is the fulcrum between the old and the new, the book of Acts. And then the epistles actually begin right after that. What's the book right after Acts? Anybody know?
Romans.
And then what's the last epistle? Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. So you've got seven church epistles from Romans all the way through to Thessalonians that contain your doctrine, your how-tos. What you'll find out in there is that there's not a lot of this of, I don't know, what you see in churches today. Not quite sure how to phrase it, but it's always stuck in the Gospels. Let's just put it that way. They never really come out of the Gospels. It's all about worshiping Jesus. They've turned Jesus into God and things that aren't even in the Bible. And there's a whole lot of other lies that are out there too. But they never get into the life that a real Christian is supposed to manifest. And so that's what we're doing. Our focus over these the last month and a half, and maybe even the next month and a half, is on how to be a true Christian. And there is a significant difference between what the world offers as Christianity, which isn't Christianity, and what the seven church epistles offer as true Christianity. Are you what the Word of God says you are?
Yes.
Well, let's do it. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do, and I have God's favor in my life. You want to do it in Spanish? Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. Every time you say that, that's significant. We've been giving ourselves lots of hands today, haven't we? Okay. Remove your body armor and open your souls. That's what we're going to talk about today. Your body armor is what I refer to as all the encasement around your soul that keeps your soul imprisoned. Your soul is your life. And this soul that God has given you is supposed to have free reign. It's supposed to be free. And last week I described it as kind of like a hot air balloon floating and free in life. And if you have imprisoned your soul, you've got body armor, and your soul can't get out. If somebody comes up to you and wants to talk to you, and you don't talk to them, you're imprisoned. You don't let your soul out. You see, We are a people of souls. Humanity. We are a people of souls. You might get focused on the body, but you're being misled. You have a body so that the soul has a place to go. If you didn't have a body, your soul would have no place to go. It couldn't go anywhere. We're a people of souls. And if our souls are not allowed to thrive, all other attributes of humanity suffer. Now, the Christian world has taught that the Spirit of God that you get has its own consciousness and has its own mobility and all that kind of stuff. And they've completely misled people. Our humanity is a people of souls. And the soul is what gets developed. When you're a baby, for instance, and mama's holding little baby, mama's really holding a little soul there. Okay, yeah, there's a body, and that body's got to be washed. It's got to be fed. It's got to be clothed. As that body grows up, it's got to be taught to clip its fingernails and look good. But after that, all the real training is directed to the soul. Okay? And if that soul is not taught properly, if that soul is not raised properly, all hell can break loose, literally. And this is where many of our societal problems come from. Souls are not taught properly. So if your soul is not allowed to thrive, all other attributes of you suffer. And your soul is ever so closely coupled to your body, your mind, and the Spirit from God. Ever so closely coupled. If the soul suffers, so does the rest of us. And we must learn, and this is going to be your challenge today, we must learn to remove the old body armor so that our souls can thrive. Every one of you know your life. Every one of you know what kind of body armor you have. How open your soul is. And you know what I mean by being open. You're open, you're lighthearted, you communicate. Life is just free. If you don't have the basics of that down, you're not going to have a very good time being a Christian. Because Christianity builds upon that. God puts the Spirit of Christ in you, and you have a soul. And so the soul part already needs to be working properly. And if it's not, then there's a lot of teaching, there's a lot of instruction, there's correction maybe, there's all kinds of stuff that has to go on just to get the person to the place where they can thrive with that Spirit of Christ. So if you know yourself. You know if you're open-hearted or not, and that's really what it comes down to. You know if you're closed-hearted or not. You know if you've got fears and apprehensions and misery inside you that makes you just be basically immobile. It's almost as if you didn't have a body. And that's kind of the uniqueness of the soul. You have a body so your soul can move. But if your soul is worn out, if your soul is worn down with problems, with burdens and such, it's as if you had no body. You don't go anywhere. You don't visit anybody. You don't do any good to society and to Christendom. Why, it's almost as if you had no body at all. Now you might relate. How many of you ever feel like you don't even want to get out of bed in the morning because of miseries? Well, there's a good example of your soul being downtrodden, of the frustrations just alive within you to the point that you're enslaved, that you're immobile. You just don't go anywhere. And how many of you don't go anywhere in life because of other reasons? Because you don't believe in yourself. Because you don't feel good about yourself. Because of something that happened in the past. These are all enslavement techniques by the adversary, by Satan, to make you immobile. So if you go through anything like that, you know that you need to drop, to remove the body armor so that your soul is open. Far too many people's far too many people live deep within their shells of existence. Their bodies, their fears, their misgivings, their hurts, their pains, even their pasts. They live in these things. In all of these cases, the soul suffers. That's what you must see. I've taught on the soul many times. Now that you've heard these teachings before, this should take you to a new level. You should feel mature about the soul right now, of your understanding about the soul. In all of these cases, the soul suffers. If you understand that the soul is suffering, then you can do something about it. The Christian is supposed to be open-minded, open-hearted, giving, loving, kind, and wonderful to those he meets, especially to other Christians. Oh my gosh! Sometimes those are the worst meetings of all, because there's so much anger or animosity. But I'm going to teach you today, I'm going to show you how to manage that. So whether you're in sorrow or joy, you're poised and you can handle it. Whether you're in honor or dishonor, you're poised so that you can handle it. It all comes down to having a goal of being open-hearted, of opening your souls. So if you're going to do that, you got to learn to drop the body armor. Now, you might have reasons for hiding yourself away. If you hide yourself away, undoubtedly you do have a reason for it. And either you will decide to stop hiding, or you're going to continue hiding. I can't control that, and I'm not going to try. I'm not going to come up after this teaching and say, now look, I know you are hiding, and I'm going to slap you, and then you're going to come out of hiding, okay? I'm not going to do that. Because a soul decision has to be made by that soul. Otherwise, there will be no change. And so I'm asking you to consider it. I'm asking you to shoulder this responsibility, to take upon your shoulders the responsibility to decide to come out of hiding. The choice is yours alone. I'm asking you to open your life and come out of your life's punishments and abuses into a Christian, truly Christian lifestyle. I'm asking you to do that. To do so, you must drop your body armor and give yourself a chance. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you're ever going to walk in God's glory on this earth, then there comes a time when you must renounce the old and lay claim to the new. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And the conscience refers to the other people's perceptions. We all perceive, and we all perceive each other in a certain way. Well, you want the perception another has of you to be godly, according to the manifestation of the truth. In order for that to happen, in order for you to lay claim by commending yourself to every man's conscience in the sight of God, you must renounce. You stand against what this is calling the hidden things of dishonesty, the walking in craftiness, the handling of the Word of God deceitfully, anything like that. In other words, your life is no longer hidden. Satan makes people hide away. And God's nature is to be exposed in glory. So Satan hides and God exposes. God is everywhere present and you can see all the wonderful things of God, whereas Satan's stuff is all hidden. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. There you have it. Satan, the God of this world, he hides people. Lost people are hidden. They run around in the crevices of life. They wander around in these places. And they never seem to be able to come out in the open. Well, don't you be one of them. Don't. Defy Satan on every count. Don't allow him to hide you away with so many of these other lost souls. Verse 7. You're going to be playing this game of hide and seek as long as you have the body. And in verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The earthen vessel becomes your blessing and cursing. Well, it does. You must learn to deal with it. And if you don't deal with it, it's going to be pretty obvious. You're not going to be open-souled and you're going to be encased in body armor. Don't allow this earthen vessel and all of its attributes to become so thick that your soul becomes lost and hidden away. You see what we're dealing with? You're no different than these people back in the first century church. They all had to deal with it. They were all born again. The salvation you see here, that you hear spoken of, it's not talking about getting born again. It's talking about getting free. So you can live your life like God wants you to. The life of a Christian is a life like no other. You can't go to any other part of the Word and learn about it. And if you spend all your time in other parts of the Word saying you are learning about it, you don't even know what a Christian is. And when you come into books, the epistles, like for instance Corinthians, this is where you learn of the freedom you're supposed to have. Renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty. Laying claim to a whole different lifestyle. You don't hear about that in the Old Testament. This is totally different. Verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. One day you will be delivered. But right now you got to deal with it. How many of you don't want to deal with this stuff? You see, this is practical. And I'm bringing you up to a crossroads. Okay? A crossroads in life. Now, I don't know which way you're going to go. But the nature of so many teachings out of the epistles, they're almost like crossroad teachings. I can take you to the threshold of change, but you're the one that has to change. You're the one that has to develop yourself and decide that you're going to develop yourself even. It's not, Christianity is not a movement of sedentary people. Christianity is a movement of free souls. of people who say, I will never be chained again. That's Christianity. Christianity is a race of freedom. And it's our responsibility to renounce the old and lay hold on the new and refute Satan at every count so that we're not, never one of those lost and hidden souls after being born again. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. Oh, there's days when you want to faint. And you know you do. There's days when you don't want to move because of the battle, because of the conflict, because of the burden upon your body in whatever fashion it comes, mentally or physically. Faint not, I say. Take these words to heart. Learn to mold your soul with the hands of these words. Faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Well, that's the beauty of understanding that we're dealing with the soul and not the body. Your body is going to fall apart on you one day. That's a sad fact. But though the outward man perish, that's a sad fact. But the glorious truth is that the inward man is made new every day. Was it made new today? Will it be made new tomorrow? The answer is yes. So while the outside seems to be becoming immobile, not the inside. And that's why you've got to get on top of the inside today. The focus must change from a hiding away to a shining forth, to an enslavement of immobility by whatever means, physical or mental, to the shining forth with a renewed vigor, a daily renewal. Chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, now think about this. If our body, earthly house of this tabernacle, were dissolved, gone, if there were no body, if there were no bodies in this room, no flesh body in this room, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's not the soul there. That's Holy Spirit. Okay? But because you have a soul, you can have Holy Spirit. And that soul and Holy Spirit abide in the body. But he changed the focus here slightly. The Christian focus must be on the things of God within. Our walk must be such that the outward things, no matter what they are, never get in the way of the manifestation of sonship. Verse 2. For in this body, in this we groan. How many of you groaned even today? You see, the nature of this battle, of this outward, inward man conflict causes groanings, perhaps even on a daily basis. For in this we groan, this body, this situation, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Well, I say to you, if your soul groans in frustrations, fears, defeats, loneliness, and misery, understand that God's way is what will bring you a deliverance now that will outweigh the weights of those earthly burdens. Verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon. In other words, we don't want our body to dissolve, like Paul just said, but we want to be clothed upon. We want God to take what He's done and make it even better. Why? That mortality might be swallowed up of life. So right now, yours is a mortal existence. But one day, you will have immortality. And it will be given a brand new life. But what is the sum and substance of this matter? We've talked about this now, about putting off the body armor, about opening your souls, about renouncing the old and laying claim to the new, about the soul being the decider. You decide. I'm not talking to your body right now, okay? I'm talking to your soul. And what's it going to be? You can choose to stay one way or you can choose to go another. That is your choice, and thank God for that, right? That's what free will is, I guess. But you see, we're a different kind of people. We're a Christian people that strive for excellence out of the epistles. And our interest is to live the life of true Christianity as portrayed from the seven church epistles. So what's the sum and substance of this matter? Well, it's listed in verses 16 and 17. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. I said I'm not talking to your body. You might think I am. You might think when I see your body I remember all kinds of things, but I don't. I'm looking at you so I can address your soul. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, they did, not us. Yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. Well, we never knew him after the flesh anyway. But they did. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and let's pick up the therefore from the first part, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Not creature, creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Well, there's the sum and substance. I don't know you after your flesh. Now, I'm sorry if you have things you go through. You know, I had a pimple on my nose the other day. And I hurt my toe. My wife saw the bottom of my right foot, big toe. There's a big old kind of black bruise thing on it. What's that? Oh, well, that's a, what did I call that thing? It's a battle scar. From my first soccer game weeks ago, I got a big old blister down there, and I said, I hope it never comes off, because I love playing that stuff. So she knew me a little bit after my flesh, but that's probably the end of it. We don't know anyone after the flesh. I don't want to know you after your flesh, okay? I'm not interested in your flesh. I'm interested in your soul and in the manifestation of Christ in you. Now that's the sum and substance of this whole thing. How can you get to that place? Well, now that's just theory, isn't it? That's just talk. That's all it is right now. I don't want to look after y'all's flesh. I don't want you looking after my flesh. I'm going to take care of my flesh, though, if you don't mind. And I hope you take care of your flesh, too, because I do mind. But I'm not going to look after your flesh. That's not talking about how you take care of your flesh. It's a whole different thing. If you truly want to renounce the old, if you truly want old things to be passed away, all the non-Christian things, and if you truly want all things to become new, you got to get this one down. And until you get this one down, it will not happen. Trust me. Come back 100 years from now. It still won't happen until you understand how to do it here. So we know no man after the flesh. I don't even want you to know you after the flesh. Okay? That's how this builds. I'm not just talking about you not knowing me after the flesh. I'm also talking about I don't want you to know you after the flesh. Well, you've got stinky stuff you've dealt with, right? You don't want anybody to know about it, and you ought to forget about it. So don't know yourself after the flesh. Instead, know the new creation of Christ in you and Christ in others. That's what I want you to know. Hey, I have fun with my kids. They probably think I just beat up on them all the time, and I love them. I do beat up on them all the time, though. No, but one morning one of them had a sour attitude, and my response was, excuse me, but I don't really want to talk to the old man there today. Can you just bring out the new one? I want to talk to the new man, okay? I'm black and white on this stuff. I'm turning this thing super practical for you. I'm not interested in talking to your old man. Now, we're going to get into that one day. I'm not interested in talking to your old man. I just want to talk to the new guy. Can you just show him to me, please? That's all I'm interested in. Because I believe that Christians can manifest Christianity to each other. Christ in you to Christ in me. Become so focused on the new creation of Christ in that you focus only on that. In each other and especially in you. If you don't accept this new way of thinking and being, you become guilty of a terrible tragedy. And I do mean terrible. Do you want to be guilty of a tragedy? Of bringing a tragic thing into your life? Well, gosh, no. Does it even matter what it is? Not really. I don't want to bring any tragedy into my life or other people's lives. In chapter 6, verse 1, we then, as workers together, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Well, if you don't get on board with this stuff, knowing no man after the flesh, knowing a man after the new creation, Christ in, you're receiving the grace of God in vain. That is a tragedy, my friends. And you say, Jerry, aren't you taking this a little too far? No. Because I can't take an eraser and blot out this from the book. I just can't do it. God's grace is sufficient for us all, but it's never to be abused. And it should be recognized. He's favored you by not only giving you Christ in you, but also by teaching you how you're supposed to manage your soul so you can get the greatest benefit from it. That's what this is all about. Well, ladies and gentlemen, now is a special time for all. In verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, Now is the day of salvation. Will you accept this time? Will you accept this salvation? And this is far more than becoming born again, folks. The Corinthian believers were already born again. You are already born again. This is beyond the born again salvation of Jesus, which is the only place that the church has ever seemed to go. This is talking about you dropping your body armor, as I put it, and opening your souls to the reality of that new creation within you, Christ in you. This salvation is speaking of a renewed wholeness in the Christian body of believers. People who heretofore have been suffering a silent pain and anguish should never be in the church. You should never have pain and anguish within you. You should never have it. You should never have it. And every one of you, you should never have silent pains and anguishes within you. That's an atrocity to the church. But an even greater is that most Christians bring it on themselves. It's tragic that they receive the grace of God in vain. And it happens because they don't focus on the greatness of the creation of Christ within. Well, it's time for a renewal of thinking and focus. It's time now. That's what it says in verse 2. It's time for true Christianity to come to the forefront in your life, in every life here. And this can happen by you. I say by. Because you're the orchestrator. God's done His thing. He's created Christ in you. God's done His thing through Christ. The works of the adversary were destroyed. All that's past. The Gospels are clear on that. But now it's a time of renewal. Of renewed salvation. Of renewed wholeness. Where life takes on a new meaning for the Christian. So that the Christian can walk away from the old matter of the world and into a new way of holy living. Ordained by God, I say holy because of that. How do you do this? It's very simple. You open your heart and your life to the world, just like Christ did, just like God does, has done, and will continue to do. Age after age, you open the doors of your heart to the life of the world, the souls of other Christians and the lost. Open what was sealed shut, break the seals open, and thrust open the portals of secrecy and deceit. No more hiding. Never again allow your hearts and lives such hiding. What do you look for? What things do you use as a checklist to ensure you are actively opening your soul life God's way? Well, verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Now, don't get me wrong. When I say remove the body armor, I didn't mean remove all armor. I mean only that which did belong, that which was preventing the manifestation of the glory of heavenly sonship. You are certainly to keep your righteous armor. You'll need that perhaps every day of your life. Your righteous armor is part of how you open your souls and remain open throughout this life. Verse 8, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. And you guys know you go through this. One day somebody says something good about you. Another day somebody says something bad about you and you happen to hear both. One day somebody honors you. The next day they seem to dishonor you. One day they say you're all right. The next day they say you're a liar. You know what I'm talking about. This is real life here, guys. This is stuff you go through. You business people understand this. You got one customer that treats you nicely, another customer that treats you terribly. They both pay you, and you're the subject of either activity, good or bad. You'll go through the gambit of life once you choose to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty and lay claim to all Christendom. While you go through it all, you hold on to your claim. Verse 9, as unknown and yet well known. Put yourself in these shoes. Some people don't even know your name and couldn't remember it if their life depended on it. Other people do. As dying and behold we live, some days you feel like you're just dying because of maybe some physical affliction. But you know you're living. As chastened and not killed. It's a most interesting walk. Most interesting. We're free in Christ. And we manifest the glory of God on every hand. We have Christ in us. And we must allow our spirit to soar with all of this untold greatness. Verse 10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. Oh, how we can relate to this one, eh? As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Now you can put it into words. Gosh, I feel so sad, but I've got joy in my heart. Gosh, I feel so poor, but I know I have all things. You know? Soon, you'll adjust to feeling sorrowful and joyful at the same time. I'm teaching you how to manage your soul right now. I'm showing you the checklist. I expect you to take what I'm about to teach you and put these things to the test. When you're going through sorrow and joy, sickness and health, honor and dishonor, and all the other things, I expect you to put this to the test. Now's the time. If you're going to renounce this old stuff, this is how you do it. If you're going to walk into true Christianity, what I'm about to show you is how you do it. There's nothing whimsical to this. I can't make your soul do it. You have to say, soul, this is where we're going for the rest of our life. That's it. You have to be that way. So I say, soon, you'll adjust to feeling sorrowful and joyful at the same time. To feeling rich and as having nothing at the same time. As if you possess all things. Indeed, you do as a Christian. These are all ways of life. I called it going through the gambit of life before. When someone honors you, don't get puffed up. When someone dishonors you, don't get depressed. You control your soul. Maybe you think you can't. Maybe you've gone through a life where your emotions rule. Well, it's time for that to stop. Absolutely. You think you can? I tell you, you can. You say, Jerry, come on. You don't know my emotions. I say, I don't want to know them. I say, it's time for you to control your soul. I say, it's time to control the soul. In both situations, honor, dishonor, whatever they are, you must be the same, unaffected in both, poised and peaceful in any situation. You've got to get that way. You've got to tell your soul, poised and peaceful in any situation. You have to get to the place further where you don't expect anything in return. Anything. I'm going to say that again. And I know you're thinking, Jerry, you are nuts. How can I go through life and never expect anything in return? Why, I'd have nothing. I say you have nothing now because that's the way you are. You've got to get to the place where you go through life and expect nothing in return. I mean it. That's not evil. That's not bad. That's not impossible. You expect nothing in return. When something comes, be thankful. But don't expect it. If you expect to remain peaceful and poised in any situation, because if you aren't of that mind, then any situation has the potential to take you up or take you down. And if you're finding your life going up and then down, it's because you're expecting far too much out of those situations. And it's wrong. It's wrong. And this way, you don't allow emotions to get in your head. You learn to stay poised. Verse 11, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. And this means we've told you everything, we've kept back nothing. Well, that tells me that right here we've got enough to live on for the rest of our lives. Our mouth is open unto you, we've told you everything, folks. Paul said it, and I'm saying it. He said it once, I'm saying it once. And you go back and read it. You can listen to the teaching. And then he said, our heart is enlarged. We've kept back nothing. This is the truth. This is what you need. This is all of what you need to manage this part of your soul. And further, when he said our heart is enlarged, he was saying our heart is relieved. It's relieved. We've done it. We've told you we've done it. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Folks, I am delivering to you the Word of God, and I am laying at your feet a confrontation that is long overdue. And every Christian must hear this. Every Christian. Because true Christianity is not a way of the world. And you can't learn how to be a Christian out there. You learn here in Corinthians and in the epistles. You don't hear this anywhere else. And he said, and God says, ye are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. And that word straitened means urged. I urge you to do this. Come on. The word urge here, you're not urged in us. It's not my urging that's going to do any good here. All I'm doing is laying it out. In essence, all God's doing is laying it out. This is God's word. So you wonder, well, why do I have so much misery, so much body armor? Why am I so in hiding? Why does my wholeness, my salvation seem so lost? And here's the answer. The answer is, but you are urged in your own bowels. And own bowels is talking about your innermost feelings. You know, your gut. You feel it in your gut, we say. The bowels here is in Orientalism, and it's talking about your feelings. You're urged in your own feelings. So Paul was teaching them that he and the leadership had not caused the people to become distressed. Truly they were, Why, that onus is across every word we said today. They were distressed. They were miserable. They were perplexed because they had something so great within and it wasn't coming out. We want to get it out. And Paul said, we didn't cause this. You know, that's why it's a hands-off thing with me. I say, I didn't cause you to be miserable if you are. Well, you know that. He was saying, we haven't caused you distress. You have become distressed to yourself. You made your own condition. We're not responsible for your misery. That's what he said. God didn't do this to you. All conditions of life are self-made. You made your own condition. If you don't like it, you need to change it. You see the confrontation here? Oh my gosh. Well, Corinthians, that's a heavy epistle. These guys were way off base. And so when you see words like this, you can understand why it's so heavy. If it seems heavy to you, maybe rightly so. You determine the outcome of your situation by your thoughts and your thinking. And if you don't believe that, then you're forever lost in this. You can go back to the God of this world thing, blinding the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. You can go back to them. You can go wander in the crevices of life. I want to be on the mountaintop. You want to be on the mountaintop? I want you to be on the mountaintop. Okay? But I can't get you there except by telling you what to do. It's your time now. You're the one that's got to get there. You determine your life's conditions by what you think, how you talk. Nobody else does that. You can't blame another soul. This is why a marriage is so beautiful. I always marvel at my wife's believing because she believes in areas that I don't even understand. But that takes us somewhere else. Better. Now, I've got my own attributes that bring good things to the marriage too, I'm sure, somewhere. But it's great to see how that believing just takes you up and up and up. Okay? But the bottom line is that you, as if you're single, determine the outcome of your situation by your own thoughts, your thinking. And if you're married and you're into that one flesh, where now it's one mind, you together determine the outcome of your situation by your thoughts and thinking. Your face is an index of your mind. Your feelings show through it. Another way to look at this verse, you're not constrained by us, but are urged by your affections. Here's a literal. O ye Corinthians, we have told you everything and we are relieved. You are not constrained by us, but are urged by your affections. In other words, your emotions drive you. And if you don't control them, they control you. You've heard it 1,000 times now. You see where it comes from. O ye Corinthians, we have told you everything and we are relieved. We've done our job. We are not constrained by you. Or you are not constrained by us, but are urged by your affections. Verse 13. Now for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. I started this teaching by saying, remove your body armor. Open your souls. Be free in your life. And do God's word, but live according to the church epistles. Didn't I? What is this saying? Now for a payment in the same. We want to see this, he says. I speak as unto my children. He wasn't being harsh here. He wasn't being mean and terrible. He was like a dad with his kids, helping them. Be ye also enlarged. Be ye also enlarged. Open up. Do this. Be peaceful and poised. Focus on the inward man. Don't let these traumas of Satan and the world's way. Throw you up one day and down the next. You decide where you're going to go. Now, children, it is time you become relieved. Paul was relieved. He said it. That's what enlarged means in one way. It's time you open your hearts and do what is Christian and right. Understand that you are supposed to be at the helm, not at the whims of the world, but the helm of your life. You're supposed to control your life and do what is right. You are supposed to understand that your life is controlled by what you think and how you act. Either you are urged by your emotions in a bad way or a good way. Learn to urge yourself on by the Word of God in everything. This way you'll be going forward in the right direction, and God will take care of you in everything. Starting today, you determine the outcome of your situation by your thoughts and thinking. That's right. Let your face, the index of your mind, show to the world that you're on the right course, because inwardly, in the soul, you've decided to drop all unnecessary body armor and have decided to manifest the truth as a real and vital Christian.